Kevin Fredericks, better known as Kev on Stage, is part of a generation of comedians who rose to fame on the internet.
Dad joke. You know, Zay, I have another joke about paper. But I'm not sure if I should tell you. I guess I'm just torn.
Over the past 12 years, Fredericks has drawn millions of followers, performed 2 sold-out national comedy tours, and launched his own production studio. Here Now's Tanya Mosley recently caught up with him for her podcast, Truth Be Told. They talked about his decision to pursue show business and how he's navigated fame and faith in the online world.
Kev, we met like a decade ago at a Jack and Jill event I was emceeing in Seattle. You were the comedian, I was the host. And look where you are now. Do you remember that event?
Yes. That's when I found out about what Jack and Jill was.
Yes.
I came from a different side of town than what Jack and Jill events were on. But it's been a long way since then. And I want my kids to be in Jack and Jill. I need to find my local chapter.
You know, Kev, I'm curious. You started doing stand-up in high school at a church talent show. When did you realize that you were funny?
I realized I was funny a long time before that. When I could convince my grandma and my mom to let me stay up later by making them laugh, that's when I realized I was funny. Because usually we were, you know, this is grown folks' business. Go to bed. You shouldn't be around here. Once yeah. It was like, Kevin, do that shout that Sister Daniels did. Show them that shout. Once it was that, you know, it only bought me 5 or 10 minutes. But 5 or 10 minutes when you're like 7 is a win. So that's when I first realized that being funny could get me things that I desperately wanted.
Well, you're almost like an OG when it comes to comedians who have maintained this really strong presence and following on social media. But your rise in the scheme of things really happened so fast. You and your wife, Melissa, had these good jobs at Boeing. And anyone who's from the Pacific Northwest knows, like, to work at Boeing, that is it. Like, you can have a wonderful right. life in Seattle at Boeing.
I tell people, like, that was like getting a job at the chocolate factory. Like, it was like Willy Wonka. You get there, you don't quit. You stay until you die or they lay you off. But you do not quit if you work for Boeing. And strangely enough, we both quit and only up from there. Not immediately up, but eventually up.
Right. You made this choice with 2 kids, this move to Los Angeles and to do comedy. What was the moment when you said, having these really good jobs, the thing we're going to do is to quit Boeing and make this our main thing?
I can tell you exactly the moment, interestingly enough. And it's a very interesting thing. My son had a video go viral, a couple of videos go viral. And he was reached out to by agents in Hollywood to play Buckwheat in a Little Rascals remake. So I took some time away from work and took him out of school for a little while. And we came down to LA to shoot the Little Rascals Save the Day. And we were on set one day, and the sound man who operated the boom pole, he was on a break, and he just sat his boom pole down next to his rig, and he was just on his phone texting. And at that moment, I was like, wow, this is this guy's job. Like, he's just taking a 10-minute break the same way I do at Boeing or from just going down to grab a soda. It's no different than any other job. He just gets to make movies for a living. And that was the moment where I was like, I don't have to be the star of the movie. I don't have to be filthy rich. I just want this to be my job, and I want my 10, 15-minute breaks to be on the sets of movies or something like that. And it was that simple, kind of mundane thing. I called my wife right after I saw that, and I was like, we have to move.
How has it been navigating your faith in this city of Los Angeles? Have you had folks ask you to be something that you're not?
You know, a friend of mine said when I moved here, and I took this statement to heart, he said, as you rise in this city will give you whatever your desires are. If your desires are women, you'll get women. If it's drugs, if it's partying, if it's alcohol, whatever your vice is, you will get it in excess. So make sure you know what you want. And I think for me, I've always been focused on maintaining my family. And that's the excess thing that I want. My excess isn't a Coke-filled party in the hills. It's taking my kids to Japan. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So luckily, I found churches that were led by creative Christians. So they understand how to navigate this industry. They work in this industry. So when your pastors, you went on tour with Brandy or worked for Death Row or worked for Kanye or Diddy, or you see those people coming to church, it's easier to navigate when they have some experience being in that industry. So that was important as well.
I mean, you carry yourself a certain way, but you have also evolved. I mean, I've been following you pretty closely throughout your career. And one thing that I noticed is from time to time, you've gotten some pushback from maybe disappointed fans who measure your, I don't know, for lack of a better word, Christianness in a way.
Yeah.
You talk about real stuff like sex and you know, other life issues. How do you manage that push and pull?
So that's a great question. Here's the truth of the matter. I'm almost 40 years old, right? Very few of us who are 40 or near 40 are the same person we were when we were 25, you know, True. Or 30. So a lot of people have been tracking me. I had to let go of holding what strangers thought I should be close to what I thought I should be. I spent a lot of time trying to make sure strangers were happy with me. But then I realized it was like a cage, because there's millions of people, and the same thing that makes you laugh offends someone else. The same person is happy that I'm growing and changing. Another person wants me to stay exactly the same. And it was too constricting to try to live up to what million, I literally have millions of fans, millions of people think. So, and I disappoint myself all the time. So you aren't special if you're not disappointed in me. I tell my spouse I'm supposed to eat right and work out 5-6 times a week and not drink sodas and sugary drinks. And after we finish this podcast, I'm going to Starbucks and getting a strawberry acai with lemonade.
Right.
So if I can disappoint myself or my wife or my kids, you are not special enough to not get disappointed by me. You make sure that you act in a way that you should be proud of yourself. And I know whether you are happy with me or frustrated with me or disappointed, I will be acting in the way that I see fit at all times. And if you go, that's fine. Think about your favorite artists. You don't necessarily like every phase that they're in musically.
That's true.
Every movie they make, you may not like every choice they make. You may stop liking them overall. You might like their first 3 albums and hate 4 through 9. But does that mean they shouldn't be allowed to make what they want to make or do what they want to do or take their career how they see fit? And sometimes we don't like stuff for a while, and then they come back and they're great again. So I think every artist should be allowed to take their own journey and let the people who are enjoying that part enjoy, and let those who don't. And I think that's how I've been living for the last couple years, once I kind of freed myself from trying to appease and impress everybody.
Back to your Boeing days, living in Washington State, and then making this leap to move to Los Angeles. What does success look like for you now? I mean, you've got so many things going on, and yet, I mean, from my view, it actually feels like it's just the beginning.
Yeah, from my view too. I think for me, success is simple and complex. The simple part is I just want to be able to make what I want when I want and create opportunities for other people. And I think no matter how big I get, I think I will always reserve the right to create in a way where I don't have to get notes from someone. It might not be on all the projects, but I will always have either a passion project or a platform where I can say what I want. And I think as I rise and hopefully accumulate more resources, I think I always want to share those resources with people. I think one thing I'm known for is sharing my platform. You know, Keep Your Distance, I'm putting on 6-7 comedians a night, once a month, always giving opportunities with the stuff that I work on. I always try to cast up-and-comers or people who are not gotten an opportunity to play at the level that we can offer. And I think my hope is that as I continue to grow, I just will have more resources to give those opportunities to other people. And that to me is success. It's not about having all the money in the world or being able to do whatever. It's about being able to do nothing if you want to do nothing, being able to create whatever you want if that's what you want to do, and being able to create opportunities for other people. And by thinking of success like that, I'm always able to be thankful in the moment, because wherever I am in my career, I should be able to be doing at least that.
Kevin Fredericks, aka Kev on Stage, comedian, studio founder, host, social media star, and soon to be author. His new book with his wife Melissa, titled Marriage Be Hard, comes out September 13th. And you know we have to have you back on to talk about that. Me and my hubby have a lot to talk about with you on that.
Would love to.
Kev, thank you for taking the time.
Of course. Thank you so much. Love to do it again.